This is Dave Gloetz. Welcome to another in my series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky, who writes on politics and government for the Chicago Reader, and who's here with me today. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thank you, David.
Today we're talking about your column that appeared in the Reader on November 17th, 2011, and it's titled, Senator Kirk Claims That Chicago's Top High Schools Are Charters, But That Doesn't Mean It's True.
Yes, sir.
This article analyzes how Senator Mark Kirk of Illinois might have arrived at his conclusion that 9 of the top 10 Chicago high schools are charters. Ben, you report that Kirk used average ACT test scores as the basis for ranking high schools.
Yes, sir.
And you don't think much of this method. I found a way to get 5 of the top 10 scoring high schools to come out as charters by using student test score gains from freshman to senior year reported by Chicago Public Schools on their website. What method would you use to rank high schools? Or would you even try to rank high schools?
That is a very...
Is it a futile gesture?
You answered your own question.
On to the next question.
Yes. What are you trying to determine when you do a ranking?
Well, let's back up a step. There's been reporting recently about how Chicago Public Schools is creating a revised report card for parents. So parents have some way of comparing and deciding what high schools to send their kids to.
Dave, every time you bring a charter into the conversation about Chicago, you find out that the rules are a little different for the charters. So yes, you happen to be touching upon a point I was thinking about. They've come out with this new report card. Have you seen the report card?
Not yet.
Okay, well, they throw a lot of numbers at you, and the central purpose of the report card is sort of to replicate what you were getting at earlier, to see what they're doing with the students that come into their school in terms of advancing them. You know, so in other words, if a student comes in reading at a 9th grade level as a freshman, is he or she reading at a 10th grade level at the start of the sophomore year? Did he advance accordingly? That kind of thing, to see what rate of progress there is. But curiously enough, for some reason, which I don't know why, because it just hasn't been on the list of things to ask, and the papers didn't have a response from the central office, the charters are not included in these new report cards. Isn't that interesting, Dave?
I didn't know that.
So maybe next year, or as the Jackson 5 would say, maybe tomorrow. So, you know, what do you want to do? Do you want to measure the growth of the individual students that are there? Well, that's difficult to do because you don't know if it's the same body of students. So in other words, if you have 100 kids showing up as 9th graders, are those the same 100 kids who were there as sophomores? So it's sort of misleading just to use year to year. If you just want to rank them, then it's really not fair because there's certain schools that limit enrollment to kids who do really well in tests. So those kids will be, if it's just raw ranking, at the top of the list. These measurements are essentially supposed to be to help students. And the reality, the way we use them is to help politicians and to help push agendas. And it's got really nothing to do with students. And so when Mark Kirk issued his proclamation in an email blast that 9 out of 10 of the top schools in Chicago are charters, that was essentially his attempt to join the movement to divert more money to charters and away from regular public schools, including those very public schools that have the best test scores.
So it might be an appropriate response, it strikes me, to that sort of proclamation that's a fallacious claim. In other words, it doesn't get you anywhere to just talk about rankings because, first of all, there are many criteria that go into deciding how good a school is. And it's besides a point to rank a school because there's so many considerations that go into what makes a good school. So to say something like that sort of admits that you brush all that aside.
Yes. The larger point is that there's a struggle going on right now with public education money and where that money will be spent. Senator Kirk and Mayor Emanuel, to one degree or another, are on the side of diverting more of it to charter schools under the pretense that somehow or other they have figured out how to educate children better than regular schools with their regular schools' unionized workforce. I don't believe that's true. I don't believe that any system, charter, private, public, has figured out these really wide-ranging disparities between the academic performances of children as they're related to income.
Charters don't have the silver bullet.
Nobody does. I don't have it. You don't have it. Mayor Rahm Emanuel doesn't have it. Certainly Mark Kirk doesn't have it. But to pretend as though charter schools have it in order to justify taking money away from regular schools with their unionized workforce, I can't accentuate that as much because really it's part of a effort to undercut the teachers union, is to throw out any pretense of sort of a learned, objective analysis of what truly works in the classroom. So when it comes to education stories, Dave, more and more, that's what I see my role is. Just try to point a light on what the anti-union side is up to. I don't really know how to put it. If I saw evidence on a wide scale that there was a certain kind of school that had figured out these taxing problems, then I would promote them, but I don't see that evidence. I remember when charters were first starting, I would go visit them, and I was impressed by the enthusiasm of the teachers and the people starting it. And I really appreciated what they were trying to do. Not just charters, but small schools that were operating within the larger framework of the Chicago public school system. A lot of those small schools, or some of those small, have spun off into charters. I was a cheerleader for them. I mean, if you go back and read the old articles, you know, I wrote articles saying, hey, you know, give these people credit. They're really trying. But now when I see what it's morphed into and how charter schools, whether they want to or not, are being used, you know, as this hammer to whack away at a unionized workforce, I just don't really want to join the chorus anymore.
A detail in your article that I want to clarify is that you say that charters limit their enrollment to kids whose parents apply to have them admitted, while neighborhood schools don't. Don't neighborhood schools also have an application process?
There could be programs within a neighborhood school. It gets a little complicated, but by and large, the answer to your question is no. If you live within a neighborhood school's attendance boundary and you've not applied, or your parents have not applied for you to go to any other school, you will just be dispatched to that local school.
So there is an automatic sort of process
that
if you don't apply, you go by default into your local neighborhood school.
Same thing with grammar schools. When your kid becomes kindergarten age, and if you've not submitted an application to the magnet school programs or the charter school programs, the system automatically sends your child to whatever school your home was within the boundaries.
I've gotten reports of how, because of Chicago Public Schools' poor performing neighborhood schools, parents are gaming the application system to get their kids into higher performing selective enrollment schools. What have you heard about that?
Well, that's an old story in Chicago now. Are you talking about high schools or grammar schools?
Both.
This is such a complicated issue. It's an emotional issue. It's a volatile issue because it's about parents wanting the best for their children. On many levels, a panic sets in, and parents are not always rational in how they approach it. I don't know how else to get around that. I mean, it's very difficult to be rational in a panicking moment like that. One of the byproducts is, yeah, they're always looking for every break they can get. There have been some really delightful stories written over the years. I recall one, gosh, this would have been in the early 90s or late 80s, that a writer who's now a publicist, Marge Halpern, wrote about trying to get her children into a magnet school for grammar school, and the politics that were involved, and it stirred up quite a bit of controversy because it exposed the sort of back behind the scenes politicking that went on in a process that was supposedly fair and governed by a lottery.
You don't get parents or teachers calling you to try to get you to uncover some of this subterfuge.
I remember a couple of years ago, Michael Jordan's son was suddenly enrolled in Whitney Young High School as a junior. And I got a call from an outraged mother whose daughter had not been accepted to Whitney Young. And she was saying that, well, this is an example of how, you know, the advantage always goes to the wealthy and the well-connected. By then, that story was reported on all the major media outlets, et cetera. I had a sort of chuckle because I'm sure every single private school, Catholic school, University of Chicago Lab School, Francis Parker, Latin, with all their waiting lists, would have happily pushed Michael Jordan's son to the front of the list. Not just because he was a good basketball player who could bring fame and glory to the team, but because it's Michael Jordan and there's a certain amount of prestige that comes from having him in your parent pool. This is Chicago. This is what goes on. This is part of the mix. This is why people get angry. You know, they feel as though it's a double standard and their children are not the beneficiaries. Then when their children are the beneficiaries, well, then, you know, they can live with that.
That's all we've got time for today, Ben. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Senator.
If you want to hear more of our interviews, go to MrRadio.org or subscribe to our podcast. You can go to iTunes also and search for Ben Jarofsky or me, Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.